Behind the Arc. A look around the country in college basketball. Behind the Arc. Hear about the week's biggest storylines, from blue bloods to mid-majors. Go in-depth on the week's biggest matchups, bracketology, and which small conference schools should be on your radar. Behind the Arc. Here's your host, Joel Silverberg.
Welcome to the Behind the Arc podcast. My name is Joel Silverberg. I appreciate you taking the time to listen to the podcast, whether it's on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, 99.1, thesportsanimal.com, or on the Sports Animal app. Thank you so much for listening to Behind the Arc. That was ugly, to say the least, but Tennessee got it done, a 56-53 win over Mississippi State on Tuesday night. The Vols struggling, continuing to struggle on offense, but Eve Pons leads the way with 13 points. Another game for him with scoring in double figures and shooting more than 50% from the floor. Also fouled out of that game late, so credit to Tennessee for being able to make defensive stops without him. John Fulkerson was in foul trouble early, stayed out of foul trouble for most of the second half, didn't play a ton of minutes. Eve Pons only played 22 minutes, Fulkerson 29. Viscovi with 8 points, but hit a couple of big free throws late in the game, had a big second half three-pointer to help as well. Tennessee shot just 15% from beyond the arc and 37% from the field. What helped was Mississippi State committing 7 more turnovers than Tennessee with 18 overall, 32% shooting from the floor for Mississippi State, 3 of 13 from three-point range, and Tennessee, when it had to, got to the free throw line to generate offense. Mississippi State, in the second half alone, missed 5 layups. Not short-range jumpers, not mid-range jumpers. It missed 5 layups. 5 easy opportunities at a bucket and failed to convert on any of those. Along with missing 7 free throws throughout the entire game, shot 16 of 23 for the night. But out-rebounded Tennessee 42-30, 15-10 on the offensive glass, 42-20 on the defensive glass. At times, Tennessee had spurts where it had some big offensive rebounds and Mississippi State couldn't get stops, but Mississippi State's perimeter defense was porous. Tennessee still couldn't hit open looks from beyond the arc, and Mississippi State gave Tennessee opportunity after opportunity to win that game. So Tennessee played well enough defensively to get the win. It made big stops when it had to. After getting off to a really fast start, Tennessee led early in this basketball game, and Mississippi State did a nice job at clawing back in, but really just taking advantage of Tennessee struggling and hit shots offensively. Tennessee led by 11 within the first 8 minutes of the game, and for the majority of the second half, the teams went back and forth. Mississippi State led for a long stretch before Tennessee finally took the lead back, and neither team could really go on a run to get the offense rolling. So for Tennessee, it's nice to get that win and to break a 2-game skid, but the offense is not playing well enough to beat Kansas coming up on Saturday. It's going to have to continue to play good defense, and I guarantee you that Kansas is going to be a little bit better offensively than what Tennessee saw on Tuesday night against Mississippi State at Thompson Bowling Arena. Kansas at this point in time ranks 21st. In offensive efficiency, 18th in defensive efficiency, according to KenPom, 16th overall. Tennessee is the 19th ranked team, according to KenPom, 68 in offensive efficiency, 2nd in defensive efficiency. And as for Mississippi State, the Bulldogs rank 75th overall, 73rd on offense, 91st on defense. So Tennessee with a lot of ground to kind of make up here in terms of offense to get ready for Kansas on Saturday, and that's going to be a tough team. Kansas has not been playing well lately, neither has Tennessee, to say the least. So the Volunteers, with a big opportunity to really kind of change their narrative for how they've played the last couple of weeks, with a big home game coming up against Kansas in the SEC Big 12 Challenge. That game set to tip off at 6 o'clock Saturday night at Thompson Bowling Arena. Pre-game coverage will begin at 5:30 on our radio station, 99.1 FM, The Sports Animal, and it's a game that I think Tennessee should want to win for a number of reasons, but the last couple of years, these two teams have played some competitive games, and Kansas has come out on top. This is a stat that actually surprises me greatly. ESPN's Basketball Power Index is giving Tennessee a 71% chance to win the game. That's as of Tuesday night. Now, granted, Kansas has really struggled in its last four games. It needed to survive against Oklahoma on January 9th. It lost to Oklahoma State by five, did not play the Iowa State game that it was scheduled to because of a postponement. It lost to Baylor by eight, and then lost to Oklahoma on Saturday. It is scheduled to play TCU on Thursday before it takes on the Volunteers. So for Kansas, OJ Agbaji, somebody that Tennessee has seen, saw last year, averaging 14.5 points per game. Jalen Wilson has been a big part of what Kansas has done offensively this year. The freshman is averaging 13 points per game. David McCormick, who is really important for what they do on the interior defensively, is averaging 11.5 points per game. Christian Braun having to fill some big shoes with Devon Dotson not being there in the backcourt. He's averaging 10 points per game. Marcus Garrett averaging 10 points per game. And of course, really fast on the perimeter. Can be very a really big weapon for Kansas defensively. Kansas shooting 37% from behind the arc as a team, 44% from the field, and a decent free throw shooting team. I think for Tennessee, the big thing is going to be making sure you don't commit turnovers. And Tennessee slowed down its turnovers in the second half. After things started to get out of hand and Mississippi State started to force the issue, Tennessee to finish at 11 turnovers, that's not a bad stat when you consider what happened through the first 30 minutes of the game. So I thought that Tennessee did some good things to clean up the game. It kept up the intensity. It didn't get shots to fall. That's something that has to change against Kansas. But for Tennessee to at least play well enough defensively to get that win, you at least can notch it as a W, because that would have been a really bad loss for Tennessee to take at home to a team that, you know, that would have been a quad two loss at home. At this point in time, you could still say that your three losses are all quadrant one losses, and you're hoping that it stays that way. Tennessee needs to pick up some quality wins. It's blown some opportunities against Florida and Missouri, Alabama. Those all would have been really good wins for Tennessee. And for Kansas coming up on Saturday, that's the one that really boosts your resume going into February as you start off the month on the road at Ole Miss. Then you have to go to Rupp Arena, which is never easy regardless of how bad Kentucky is this year. You get a rematch against Florida, then you get LSU in Baton Rouge. So you have a tough stretch there to start the month. And you were thinking, okay, that's where things are really going to pick up heat. You're going to have some tough games in January, and then things are going to pick up. But Tennessee's had some flaws on offense that have been exposed. And Tennessee's shot selection at times hasn't been good. At other times, Tennessee's shot selection has been really good. Its execution has been poor. And again, Tennessee, I thought, got good quality looks. I didn't think they took bad three-pointers. And I can be kind of critical of teams that take bad three-pointers, but I thought Tennessee, their shot selection for the most part was pretty decent. And the big issue was, is the shots just weren't falling. 3 of 19 from three-point range. Vescovi, 2 of 7. Josiah Jordan-James, 1 of 6. Several of his three-pointers were wide-open looks. He had second chances. The three-pointer that he did actually hit on the night, Josiah Jordan-James, came on a second chance where he missed a three-pointer. They got the offensive rebound, got it back to him on the perimeter where he was all alone, and he was able to knock it down. But Tennessee's got to be more efficient. Victor Bailey Jr., 0 of 5 from the field, 0 of 3 from three-point range. Jaden Springer hit some shots early, but was 3 of 7 from the floor and finished with 9 points. Good to see him back in the game, played 25 minutes, so a lot of quality minutes. Olivier Cumwell needs to take a lot of credit because he only played 13 minutes in the game, but in the first half, I thought he made some really big plays, had 4 rebounds and assists and 5 points, but had a big dunk on one end and then drew a charge on the other end in one sequence. And so I think Olivier Cumwell is really starting to prove himself and earn some minutes off the floor, especially in a situation where Pons and Fulkerson were in a bit of foul trouble. They wanted to attack Pons early. They wanted to make Fulkerson less effective in that game. EJ Anasicki, you're still trying to break him in a little bit more. And I think Cumwell has kind of become that number one option off the bench in terms of the front court for Rick Barnes. So nice to see him making some strides forward, and he could be a big reason that Tennessee beats Kansas on Saturday if that ends up being the case. I think Tennessee's going to be in a physical ball game, and I think they're going to need some help from that bench. And Jaden Springer, Olivier Cumwell, EJ Anasicki, Victor Bailey Jr. going to play some big roles against the Jayhawks on Saturday. We'll take a look around the SEC, some other big matchups that happened in college basketball on Tuesday night, a big rivalry game out in the Big 12 that featured an upset already in the earlier stages of this week, and an exciting finish from Monday that we'll catch you up on as well. It's the Behind the Arc podcast on the Sports Animal. Alabama's been a big storyline, obviously, this season. The Tide are now off to a 14-0 start on the season and 9-0 in SEC play after beating Kentucky on Tuesday night 70-59. This was a really low-scoring game. Neither team shot well at all. The Tide actually hit their first three-pointers and then missed 12 of their next 13. And Alabama beats Kentucky 70-59. It is the first time Alabama has swept Kentucky since 1989. Now, they're not permanent two-game opponents. They don't play each other twice a year every year. But that is wildly impressive for an Alabama team. After they went on the road and beat Kentucky at Rupp Arena by 20, they beat Kentucky by 11 at home. And Alabama is continuing to pour it on against both good teams and bad teams alike. But this is just... It's just remarkable what Nate Oates has been able to do in a short amount of time. After they took some losses during non-conference play, here they are and getting contributions from a lot of different players. Jaden Shackelford had 21 points. Josh Primo and John Petty Jr. each had 10. Herb Jones had 13 points. Alabama shot just 39% from the field, 30% from three, but it hung with Kentucky on the boards. It held Keon Brooks Jr. to just 4 points. Brandon Boston Jr. just 8 points in 31 minutes. Kentucky shot just 35% from the floor, was 6-14 from 3-point range, but Kentucky just continuing not to have answers on offense. And so on a night where Tennessee got an ugly win, it sees Kentucky lose again, and Alabama improves to 9-0 in SEC play. And it just feels like the Tide are running away with the regular season championship for the Southeastern Conference, and we're halfway through the schedule if you're Alabama. And they've got a 3.5-game lead over Missouri. Missouri's 4-2. Tennessee is 5-3. LSU's 5-3. So it's crazy to see how this is playing out for Alabama, which is now a top 10 team according to the KenPom rankings, the AP poll, the net rankings. Alabama is being talked about as being a Final Four contender. And at the beginning of the season, that, you know, we were discussing the possibility of Alabama being one of the top four teams in the SEC. And Alabama, we knew, was going to be a good team. I don't think anybody doubted that. But to be this good this early on, and maybe the SEC's been a little bit underwhelming, but Alabama has overwhelmed some pretty decent SEC teams, including Tennessee, including LSU, including Kentucky twice, and it's been solid to watch what Nate Oates has done in year two in the SEC with Alabama after coming over from Buffalo. The big upset in the Big 12, Oklahoma knocking off Texas 80-79. This was a game that Oklahoma controlled a lot early on. Austin Reeves scored 23 points, made two free throws in the final few seconds that ended up being the difference as Reeves went 7-15 from the field. And the Sooners knocked off Texas 80-79. Oklahoma had just entered the AP Top 25 poll at number 24 earlier this week. That will probably continue to go up as the next week comes around. West Virginia beat Texas Tech 88-87. An exciting Big 12 game. Matt McClung's shot at the end was no good. Oklahoma State beat Iowa State 81-60 in other Big 12 action on Monday night. So for Tennessee, kind of looking around the rest of the SEC, it's still about chasing Alabama. The Vols won't get another chance to beat the Tide this year, but that's where the SEC standard is at right now. It's with Alabama, it's with LSU, and Tennessee had an opportunity to kind of sweep Missouri and take hold of second place in the SEC, but right now you've got a couple of other teams to contend with, because while at the time of this recording, we're still waiting for LSU to finish up its game against Texas A&M. They're just starting the second half, and we're waiting for Missouri to wrap up its game against Auburn. Missouri, Tennessee, LSU, and Florida all have a 5-3 record. So Tennessee avoids falling to 4-4, which, could you imagine? That would put it, you know, 4.5 games behind Alabama. And now Alabama at 9-0, it has a couple of games to spare over everybody else in the conference. And I don't know where Alabama's next loss is coming from, because they've already beaten Florida, they've beaten Tennessee, they've held off Auburn, they've beaten Kentucky twice, they've crushed Arkansas, they've crushed LSU, they've got Oklahoma coming up in the SEC Big 12 Challenge. That won't affect the conference record. They get the rematch with LSU, and then they face Missouri on February 6th. So their next three games is probably going to be their toughest stretch if they're hoping to
win out the rest of the year. Oklahoma this weekend, LSU next Wednesday, and then Missouri next Saturday will probably be the most likely scenario where you see Alabama take a loss somewhere. And if they somehow get through that two-game stretch against LSU and Missouri undefeated and they beat both those teams, I don't think there is any chance. I think the chances are slim already, but there is no chance that Alabama doesn't win the regular season championship in the Southeastern Conference. I just don't think there's any way that happens. If it beats LSU for a second time and then beats Missouri in their matchup between the two top 15 teams in the SEC. So Tennessee will shift its gear out of conference. It will take a break. It'll play a Kansas team. And this is a game I think obviously it means a lot for Tennessee. It's an important game for Tennessee. You're getting to play the game at home. I would try to go in. I'm curious to see if Tennessee will go in with the mindset that there is nothing to lose. You're not really, you know, Basketball Power Index thinks you're expected to win, but I would think that Kansas will go into this game as the favorite considering how bad Tennessee's offense has been its last three games. And if that's the case, play like you have nothing to lose. This is a team that's beaten you in back-to-back years. They beat you at their place last year when you weren't very good. You're better this year, but you're coming off a pretty tough week. Not the most impressive win over Mississippi State on Tuesday, and you're going up against a blue blood program. And Tennessee, historically, they're not supposed to compete with blue blood programs, but this is a team that's believed that it can do that, and to reinsert itself into that conversation, I think you could go out and prove the college basketball world wrong. So we'll see if Jaden Springer can continue to contribute a little bit more, if he stays healthy. Does Eve Pons continue his impressive offensive week that he's had over his last couple of games where he's been a little bit more efficient from the floor? And can John Fulkerson really start to get going here? Some of those big performances he had against Florida and Kentucky last year, can he channel one of those against a strong Kansas squad this upcoming Saturday at Thompson Bowling Arena? Again, that game is at 6 o'clock. Pregame coverage will start at 5:30 right here on The Sports Animal. I appreciate you checking out the Behind the Arc podcast. Remember, if you're listening on Apple Podcast, hit the subscribe button, leave a 5-star rating and review, and tell a college basketball fan you know about the Behind the Arc podcast. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next time after Tennessee takes on Kansas right here on the Behind the Arc podcast.
Behind the Arc with Joel Silverberg on The Sports Animal.